Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. What is, in a church service, the right balance between the Lord's Supper and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God? That's what we're looking at today, the balance, the blend between these two elements of church life when we gather together. What's the right balance? What's the right blend between the communion and preaching and teaching? That's what we're going to talk about today. And by the way, this is a bit of a crossover episode because I have an interest in leading worship and the music side of worship and designing worship services. But I also, as you, if you know me, have a deep passion and interest in teaching and preaching. And so this is both a Tuesday teaching tip, episode 201, and a Sunday sample or corporate worship episode, which is number 124. So it covers both elements of leading, planning, delivering what is hopefully a meaningful, enriching, and God-honoring time together with a congregation, whether it's physically when you're all present or, as I'm recording today, still in the middle of the COVID-19 virus crisis and we're doing all of our church events online. Nonetheless, the principles and perhaps some of the practicals we'll talk today, I think will help you because it's not easy to know that balance and blend between the Word of God and the Lord's Supper. We don't have much instruction, in fact, no instruction in Scripture specifically about the balance. There's no Scripture that says sermons must be this long and this frequent. Communions must be this long and this frequent. You must balance and blend them in such and such a way. We don't see instruction like that in the book of Acts, nor in the epistles, nor in anything that Jesus said. And so we have to work out what the principles are that help us to decide frequency and balance and blend. That's what I'm hoping to help you with today, and I'd like to know what your thoughts are to help me with this as well. Now, these particular thoughts come from or inspired by a book I've been reading gradually over a period of time called Participating in Worship, History, Theory, and Practice by Craig Douglas Erickson. And if you watch these, you'll know I've used his thoughts as a springboard for other episodes in the past. This is the last one I'll be doing from that book. I've come to the end of it. And even though the book was copyrighted in 1989, perhaps before some of us watching this were born, nonetheless, there's some timeless principles that I think we'll find even in what we're talking about today. So in that last section of the book, Erickson's talking about the significance of the Word of God and the taking of bread and wine together. His contention is that a healthy worship event combines both sharing in the Word and sharing in the Lord's Supper. He sees this as a symmetry that's needed in order for congregations to thrive. Now, whatever your Christian background, denominational background, whatever stream of Christendom you're in, I would like to ask you to, whatever you currently do, to suspend judgment on this until we've talked about some of the things we're going to discuss today. As the history of Christendom over the centuries, and indeed still reflected today in different denominations, shows us that there tends to be, in most groups, either a greater emphasis on the Word of God. This is what comes out as being prominent. This is what is lifted high, whether literally up high in a pulpit or whether it's just an emphasis in the service. We tend to get more emphasis on the Word of God, or in some other groups and traditions, more of a strength of emphasis on the communion, the taking of the bread and the wine. And even though this is quite nice homebrew wine, I'm not going to partake of it right now. It is it's a little early. What time is it? It's nearly 1 o'clock, that's lunchtime. A bit early on a Friday for this, so I'll put this down for the moment. But you tend to find a greater emphasis on one or the other. The tradition I grew up in, which is predominantly, most of my youth, Anglican, the Eucharist, as it's called, was more significant than the preaching. The preaching tended to be quite short. The Eucharist took a while. And it was more prominent, there was more processing, there was more ceremony around it, there was more, well, the literal lifting up, talked about lifting up the word earlier, lifting up the bread and lifting up the wine to show everybody. And this is the core, the heart of what we're doing. And this varies even in Anglicanism, but this was my background. And the church I'm in these days, and the Churches of Christ, the emphasis, at least where I have been in the last 30 odd years, has always been more on the Word of God. Not to say we don't do communion and take it seriously, but the emphasis has been more here rather than here. And I'm wondering whether we've got the balance right for myself or in your situation, and how we should think about this. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how to think through these issues, since we don't have specifics in the scriptures. So the first point that Erickson brings up is this. Point number one. He says this: those who share in the Lord's Supper participate in the totality of Christ. The totality of Christ. So here this is a Christ focus. Those who share in the Lord's Supper participate in the totality of Christ. He says this, let me quote. The sacrament, this is the taking of the bread and wine, the sacrament is a grand recapitulation of God's redemptive activity. That's a phrase to chew over. The sacrament is a grand recapitulation of God's redemptive activity. In other words, he's saying, when we take that bread and wine, we are going back over all of what God has been doing through human history to redeem us for himself. So it's the big story, it's the big theme. It is the only story that matters, you could say, in the scriptures, in what God has been doing with humankind. He's always been planning to redeem humanity, and it is the bread and wine that remind us and show us and reveal to us again that this is what God is, if you like, all about. So it's very, very, very important. He goes on to talk about the fact that as the Christian year progresses, then different aspects, different parts of the church year illustrate different aspects of who Jesus is, what you might call his Christology. And so if the point of focusing on Christ is such a big deal for us in our church services, then we need to see Jesus from these different angles. In other words, a Christmas communion is likely to be, probably should be, quite different from an Easter communion. A communion taken around the time of thinking about Pentecost or harvest might be very different from one taken at another time of the year. And so the church year, however you do this, whether you're following a strict lectionary or whether you're just adjusting as you go through the year with different events in church life, Father's Day, Mother's Day, all kinds of things you might do, that these should affect what we talk about with the communion, which then help us to understand different parts of who Jesus is. And then we get a rounded picture of Jesus through allowing the communion to reflect the church year. I thought that was a really interesting point. I don't think in my life and in our churches we do enough of that, reflecting what's going on through the church year. So a couple of questions we could think about are, do the topics of our communion talks, what's said around the taking of the communion, do they reflect the time of the year and the Christian season we are in? Do they connect? Or are they pretty much the same all year round? One reason communion talks are, frankly, sometimes quite boring, and I've done it myself, so I'm not pointing the finger exactly, but you and I know that sometimes we've heard it all before, and it doesn't help if someone just says, we hear this regularly, therefore we struggle with the boredom issue. I think part of the reason we struggle with this boredom issue or this sameness issue is because we're not reflecting the season of year, and I would suggest we're also not reflecting what's been talked about from the preaching. That the preaching and teaching can shape the communion, whether the communion comes before the sermon in a service or after. Why not tie them together? In some congregations, it's quite fashionable to do what's come to be known as a sermunion, a sermon and communion combined. Whether that's all being done by one person or by two people, but closely together, as in the communion follows on straight from the sermon or vice versa. Nonetheless, if there is a connection between what's being preached and then what's being said about the cross, it seems to me that's very healthy. It has been said to me, and I think it's true, that often in our church services, maybe not right now in Watford, but certainly historically, it's like we've had two sermons. One sermon about the cross and one sermon about something different from this word of God. And I don't know about you, but I can only take in so many lessons in one day, and two sermons is a bit much. And perhaps part of the reason why we struggle with this is because we're struggling with the prominence of the sermon and the communion. Perhaps the person doing the communion feels like this communion is the most important part of the service. I must really give it full whack. But then the person preaching feels like maybe they think, no, this is actually the most important thing. I'm going to give this full whack. And so we have a 45-minute sermon with 16 points. And we have a 15-minute communion with all kinds of conviction and illustrations and things to make us think. And then we've had over an hour of stuff, and our heads and our hearts and our spirits are overstuffed. And we don't walk away refreshed. If anything, we walk away at best confused and at worst overwhelmed. And that's not helpful. So it seems to me that if we're going to participate in the fullness of Christ, which communion can help us to do, we need to reflect the word more. And the word and the sermon and the communion need to go together more. They need to coordinate more. Not absolutely every time, but more often than they probably currently do. And in this way, we'll get one message that encompasses the cross and what Jesus has done for us and whatever else the word of God might have in mind for us that day. So that's the first thing to be thinking about, is how can we make sure that communion and the word bring us the totality of Christ. Second thing Erickson talks about. He says this: those who partake of the Holy Communion share in the totality of the church. Those who partake in the Holy Communion, taking the bread and wine, share in the totality of the church. He says this: the Eucharist, the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist is a foretaste of the world that is to come. It is the messianic banquet, the eschatological feast. Nice long words there, but it's wonderful. We're going to a great banquet. Jesus has prepared a great banquet for us in the next life, the next existence after this one, after death. And we're going to be at that big feast. It's going to be huge. Everybody's invited. It's going to be wonderful. Everybody who loves God will be there. It'll be one big, well, kind of party in a way. That's where we're going. And so taking bread and wine right now reminds us that's where we're going. It's a foretaste. It's the hors d'oeuvre, you could say. So when we take communion together with our local fellowship, whether it's online right now as it is for us or not, when we're doing that together, we're in a very real, yet also in some ways a mystical sense, joining together with all those of faith, all the totality of church, all those whom God has called and loved and saved, both present where you live, globally, but also of the past. We're joining with the faithful of the past. And in some ways, we're also joining with the faithful of the future, you could say, the totality of the church. We're sharing in this hors d'oeuvre to remind us we're all going to be together one day. That day is coming, and this helps us. So a couple of questions around this that come to my mind are, do what we say about communion on a Sunday, do the talks we do they reflect this communal nature of the Lord's Supper? In other words, in many traditions, there's a greater emphasis on the personal experience of the Lord's Supper than the communal. I'm not sure that's healthy. There's certainly personal reflection that's helpful to do. Perhaps moments of silence and reflection can be helpful, but it is a communal event. In the tradition I am in, we tend to pass bread and pass wine. In other traditions I've been in, and you may have seen, people go together to the Lord's table to get the bread and get the wine. Do we have enough variety in these areas to help us to experience the communal nature? It's most challenging at the moment since we're all in lockdown and we're only seeing each other on screen. But what can we do to enhance this communal sense of I'm celebrating with everybody in my church, but the totality of the church, all who will be at that banquet after all this life is over. So much as the preaching of the word is both a personal and communal event as a church, so is the communion. So since we value, since the value in both the communion and the word are enhanced by sharing in them, why not keep them in balance? I think we need both, because both enhance our sense of community. Erickson's third point and final point, and I've got a few more thoughts before wrapping up. His third point is this. Those who together celebrate the Eucharist intercede as a royal priesthood for the whole world. Those who together celebrate the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the communion, as a royal priesthood, which is what we've been called to be, we intercede as a royal priesthood for the whole world. When we take communion, we're saying something to the world out there. It's not just for us here present. We're saying something, proclaiming something. We're proclaiming the Lordship of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 19, if you'd like a refresher on that. We're proclaiming that. It's, as he says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, it talks about how we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. That's what happens when we're taking the Lord's Supper. So a question for us is to think about, are we overemphasizing the local element of participation in the Lord's Supper by just the members of our local church, and missing a little bit an emphasis on the grander vision God has for the world to benefit from the life that is in the risen Christ? In what way do our communions and our preaching, which is, we think about this more, I think, in our preaching, we think more about how this is proclaiming Christ to the world, but are we thinking enough about how this bread and wine proclaim Christ to the world and the way that we celebrate it? And if we put this together with the preaching of the word, then won't that be a more powerful proclamation to the world of the Lordship of Christ? I think maybe it would. So what can we do with that? Again, both go together. So Erickson wonders where the competition exists between the powerful remembrance of Christ in the Lord's Supper and the powerful proclamation of Christ in the preaching of the word. And his conclusion is this. He says, they are but two sides of the same coin, the proclamation of the one word who is Jesus Christ. I would agree with that. I don't think these need to be separate or in competition, shall we say, to one another. The preaching of the word and the taking of the communion can work together symbiotically and enhance one another to proclaim Christ more clearly, to make us the body of Christ more coherently, bringing us together in a cogent, coherent, collective sense, something like that. And it gives us that extra strength that comes from the word gives us strength and the communion gives us strength in remembering what Christ has done. So let's hold these together. I believe we need to hold both together. I think that's right. Each time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, let's celebrate from the word as well. They go together. I'd say perhaps this, the value of holding these two elements of worship together lies in recognizing that the preaching of the word prevents the Lord's Supper becoming something experiential without any limitations, without any context to what the Bible's teaching on this. And the taking of the Lord's Supper regularly helps prevent the preaching of the word become a merely intellectual exercise. In this way, the communion is, as Erickson says, a more graphic and vivid representation of the word. It closes the communication gap created by the inadequacy of the verbal medium to express the inexpressible mystery. Wonderful words. We're trying to talk about what Jesus has done for us and the forgiveness of sins. This is in some ways an inexpressible mystery. If we just reduce it to facts from the word, we're missing something. But if it's just the communion and we don't think about the theology, we're missing something. So let's put these together. We can do that. It seems likely that most congregations will, on most occasions, tend to emphasize either more the word or the communion or vice versa. The question for today I'd like to ask you to think about and give me some feedback. Where is the emphasis for your congregation and why is it that way? If you design services, what's the balance? And I'm not claiming here there's an absolute correct balance and blend, but what I am claiming, I think reasonably, is that both are important. And as we have both in our services, how can we make sure that both get the prominence and the opportunity to be effective in nurturing our faith and equipping us and strengthening us and proclaiming to the world as they possibly can? What do you do in your services and why do you do what you do? Why do you have the balance and blend that you have where you are locally? That's really the question for today. At the moment in Watford, just so you know, because of the lockdown situation amongst other reasons, we're going straight from sermon into communion and I'm tying the two things together. And I found that very helpful. We're preaching through the Psalms of Ascent. There's lots of connections there with faith and the provision of God, the protection of God, and the cross comes into that quite easily, quite naturally, I should say. And it makes sense for us to do it that way, to keep the focus on one thing, especially because online it's harder to concentrate for extended periods of time. So we don't want sermons and communions to be long and involved. It's not that they don't matter. It's just that there's a limit to how much we can concentrate, especially for those of us who have energetic small children with us in our church services as well. So that's what we're doing. And I'd like to know what you're doing locally to make this as effective as you possibly can. What are you doing where you are? I'd be very interested in your opinions about what Erickson says, about what I've said about his thoughts. And I'd be very grateful if you could post your comments anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave those comments below in the comment box if you're watching the YouTube video. If you haven't already done so, hit that subscribe button, notification button. You'll find out then when the next episodes are coming out. And if you know anybody who might benefit from this recording, then please pass that link on. And if you're listening to the podcast, I'd be grateful for a review. We are very lucky. We're very lucky, it's an understatement, that we have the Word of God and we have the Lord's Supper to help us to be educated in our faith, inspired, to remember what Christ has done, and to be able to celebrate both in our church services. How can we do that the most effectively we possibly can to honour what Jesus has done for us, to strengthen our own faith, and to proclaim the amazing love of our great God expressed through Christ, made powerful by the Spirit, to the lost world out there that really needs to hear this message. Let me know what you think. I'd be very grateful. Until the next time, take care and God bless.